Praise the Lord. Okay. Good to be all of you here, Gerald and everybody, some people I know, and so glad to see all of you. I'll tell something about your pastor first. Okay. We go a long way back, okay. Tell you about some secrets, okay. After church, not after church, Grace and Joy was very little, and of course, James was so small still. After church, we will go to Pastor Philip and Pastor Irene's house, and we'll play soccer. And then, you know, James with all his boots and all the things. And your pastor always will beat my team, you know. We always play soccer and she will trash us and he will call the Gaelic King, you know. He put a soccer ball, he can go and dribble past us and score the goals anytime. So we are like, oh man, you know. So actually your pastor is a very good soccer player, actually. Okay. used to be. Correction from Sir Irene. Okay. So it's good to be here and be with all of you. I'm glad that he's doing so well. See all of you here. I just want to say that as we worship the Lord told me that this church here is meant to be a multicultural church. Okay? Multicultural, where people from all nations, from every tribe, every nation, every tongue will come here and worship the Lord. So we want you to catch the vision that this church should be a multicultural church. Okay? From every tribe, every nation. So it could be like a little aspect of what you experience in heaven above. Amen? So, you know, just be free, say, this is my church, you know. This is our church here, you know. We are a multicultural church for every race, every language, every tribe. I just want to share with you about making changes this morning, okay? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 and verse 4. I'm trying to hold myself back, if you can't hear my accent, you can have a hard time hearing me, you know, just say, Pastor, just please repeat yourself. Could you just slow down and, you know, speak clearly, okay? Matthew chapter 18, verse 2 to verse 4. Jesus says this, Verily, verily, I say unto you. This is the King James Version. Okay, you can get the NIV version. It would be great, easier to understand. If the NIV version, NIV, never mind, okay. I tell you the truth, right? Except you be converted. Okay, I read for NIV. I can't read King James Version. I'm too young to read King James Version. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says one thing first. And tells us all about the Christian life. The Christian life is about changes. The Christian life starts with a change. And Jesus says very clearly, unless we change and become like little children, we can never experience, never encounter, never even step into the kingdom of God. So the Christian life is all about changes. It begins with a change. With the change who we worship, who we serve. It starts with a change. It progresses with changes. If you want to progress in your Christian life, you have to make changes. We have changed our lifestyle. We have changed our desires. We have changed our outlook in life, our mindset, our habits, our recreation. Change is a must. Jesus says, and the King James says converted. It means changes. Sometimes Christians, we think that we can become a Christian without making changes. They think that they don't have to change their allegiance. They don't have to change who they worship. They don't have to change their desires, their values, their way of thinking, their speech, and then they can still become a Christian. No way. There's no way you can become a Christian without making changes. And so, we have to make changes. Unless we change, Jesus says, and become like little children, we can never enter the kingdom of God. So change is necessary. And we want to change to become better all the time. We don't want to be the same person year in, year out, you know. How horrible it is, you know. If someone, you know, for all these years, is still the same. And you as a person, you know, year in, year out, you struggle with the same issues of life. You struggle with the same battles you have to fight. You couldn't overcome the battles you face in life. And year in, year out, you face the same battle over and over and over again. If you want to make any changes, any improvement in your life, you've got to make changes. Whether it is your relationship with your spouse, If you want to make it a better relationship, you've got to make changes. If you want to be better in your studies, you've got to make changes. You've got to change the time you watch TV, the time you are on Facebook, the time you spend on recreation, on sports. You've got to make changes if you want to improve in life. If you want to do better at the working place, you've got to change your attitude towards your colleagues, towards your boss, towards the work itself. Whenever you make improvement in your life, you've got to make changes. And you know, changes is necessary. It's a constant in this world. The world will change. The weather changes. Since I came here, I find the weather changes, you know. I'm not used to the cold here. I'm not used to the wind here, you know. But you may have to lend me his jacket, you know, so that I can keep warm. Changes. We've changed the way we do business, right? Now, it's shopping online now. I never thought of shopping online when I was a teenager, you know. We always go to the shopping mall, right? Now, shopping online. People shop online. And I think, huh, wow. So, change is necessary. Change is inevitable. The status quo will be challenged. And a change will take place. Before, people say what? Man can't fly, right? We are not made to fly. If God wants to fly, we'll have wings. And the Wright brothers challenged that, and so people fly right now. People say, like, you can't put a man on the moon. But Robert Kennedy, President Robert Kennedy, challenged a whole nation to be the first one to put a man on the moon. So when a status quo is being challenged, changes will take place. It's inevitable. It is necessary. And the speed of change becomes quicker all the time. I counsel business people, and I tell them, you know, if you're not ready for changes in your business, how you do business, you'll be a dinosaur. You'll be phased out. You'll be irrelevant. And the church, too, must change. Otherwise, we will be irrelevant. I became a Christian when I was 3 years old, and they gave me a King James Bible. I can't understand what's going on, especially the Lord's, the Psalms 23. I read Psalm 23 and it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I want the Lord to be my shepherd. Why the Bible says I shall not want? I don't understand that. And I was like, huh? What the Bible is talking about? I shall not want God. I want God to be my shepherd, you know. And so, the church must change, you know. Have to change. How we do church has to change. If this church is meant to fulfill its calling to be a multicultural church, we have to change how we do church. How we relate to each other, how we see each other. We have to change that. Then we could fulfill the calling that God has for Zion Church here, to be a multicultural church. If you are defeated in your battles against sin, you need to change something. Your habits, who you hang out with, what you do for recreation, what you watch on the internet, on the TV, you change something so you can have victory over the battles you face. Of course, some changes are for good, some are for bad, right? Like when you change your diet, you can either become fatter or slimmer. Okay. I live by these four letters in my life. GB, GC. God, Bible, the gym, and coffee. Of course, coffee. Coffee. And then, a few weeks ago, one of my members says, you know, Pastor, I have a knee injury. I went to see a doctor, and she said, my doctor says, all bean products hinders the absorption of calcium in the body. All bean products. Okay, whether it's tau whey tree, soy soya bean, coca, coffee, all bean products hinders the absorption of calcium in our bodies. So if you don't have brittle bones, you stop taking tempeh, bean paste, soybean paste and all that, you know, so that your body can absorb calcium, right? So I didn't believe her, so I checked out with a dietitian. And he says, it's true. It hinders. So I asked the dietitian, what must you do? Oh, you take dairy products. Cheese, milk, instead of, you know, soybean or coffee, cocoa, any bean products hinder that. So, okay, right now. So I change right now from coffee to to tea. It's a big jump for me. It's a really big jump for me. You know, I must have my mocha coffee every morning. You know, for me, life is wake up in the morning, go for a run on the beach, then go to the gym, go for breakfast, then after that, take a shower, go to a cafe, take my Bible, and have coffee and read my Bible. Oh, that's heaven for me. But now I can't take coffee anymore. You know, so I say, okay, I make a change. So now it's tea now. It's tea. So if you want to improve your health, your diet, you want to be fitter, stronger, live longer, you got to change something, your diet. Okay. When I was 42 years old, okay, I'm old now, okay? When I was 42 years old, I told my wife, I said, you know, I better join a gym. I better join a gym. She said, why? I said, because if I, by the time I reach 50 years old, I can't get out of bed. So I better join a gym when I was 42. So I'm joining a gym and doing some exercises, keeping fit. If you want to see your grandchildren, you want to be grandparents, you've got to do something, okay? Anyway, sidetrack. Many of us want to make changes. Many of us. And especially in the areas of our weaknesses. We want to change that. We want it to be changed. But we find ourselves defeated in the area of weakness. We want to change, but we don't know how. This morning, I got good news for you. The Lord will help you to change. Okay? So turn with your Bibles right now to Philippians chapter 3. Okay? And this is my scripture text for this morning. Okay? Philippians chapter 3. And verse 17 to verse 21. Am I okay so far? Okay, you know, Singaporeans, everything must be very fast one, right? We do everything very fast one. We eat fast, we drink fast, we do everything, you know, must be yesterday, you know. That's how our nation is raised up like that. Everything must be very fast one, you know. I'll tell you a joke now. At a golf club, you know, a golf club. I don't know whether you heard this one or not. The phone rings, you know, in the golf club, the phone rings. So husband pick up the phone and say, and put up the phone, what I call it, pick up the phone and press the phone, and the other side of the line says, oh, hi, honey. And husband says, oh, hi. Put on speakerphone. And the wife said, oh, honey, you know, I want to buy a mink coat, you know. It costs about 2,000 pounds. Is it okay? Yeah, sure, honey. Okay, go ahead, buy the mink coat. And then after that, she said, oh, honey, you know, I was walking past by Tiffany's, you know. A shop, you know, Tiffany, you know. I saw this nice bracelet, you know. It cost $10,000, you know. Oh, you know, should I buy it? Oh, go ahead, buy it. It's okay, you know. I love you, go ahead, buy it. And then she walks around again and she said, oh, honey, I want to buy a Lexus, you know. Sports model. Is it okay, honey? It costs about $12,000. It's okay, go ahead, you know, go ahead. But make sure you have all the gadgets, all the extras inside, the reverse, what called sensor and all that. Okay, good, go ahead. And then he said, oh, thank you, honey. I love you so much. Then husband press on the phone and says, hey, whose phone is this? Is it wonderful? Somebody's husband. Okay, anyway, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17 to verse 21. My iVersion haven't come out yet. Okay. Let me a Bible, you mean because my version haven't come out yet. 3:17. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds is on earthly things. Verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Paul says here, follow my example. Okay. Take note of those who live according to my example. And what kind of example did Paul give us? Paul says in verse 12, you see verse 12, he forget what is behind him. He strained forward to what lies ahead of him, to win the goal of winning the prize of his inheritance. He strains forward to fulfill his calling, which God is calling heavenward. So he wants to win the prize of his inheritance. If you want to win a prize, you got to make a change in your life. And he changed from being a persecutor of the church to someone who paid the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice for the gospel. He changed from someone who was very impatient with people who could not meet his standards to someone who is willing to take a perpetual failure by his side and model for him life change. You know who's a perpetual failure in the Bible? In the Gospel, in the New Testament? Someone who always fails. You know who this person is? He's my hero, because I say a lot, I fail this many times. Okay, I got hope. Mark. Mark always fails. I can't go into his lifestyle or his... You study the life of Mark. He fails. He ran away naked. He go on a mission trip. He stopped halfway. When Barnabas want to take him again, Paul says, no! He's a failure. How can he desert halfway? Failure, no! But Paul changed from being someone who's impatient with people who do not meet up to his standards, to someone who's willing to take somebody, and later in his life he says, bring Mark along with you because he's useful to me. He changed that. You know Peter, how he changed from being someone who's very rash, boastful, to someone who's willing to humble himself to the point of death and even take direction under James. As you know that the New Testament church, the leader of the New Testament church is James, the brother of Jesus Christ. Because James, the brother of John, already died already, or he was beheaded. So, we want to follow models of change. Okay, there are people that God has set before us, and they've given us good models. We want to follow them. But before Paul says about, he says about following my example, he says about others who have left behind a bad example. Because they live bad lives. They're enemies of the grace of God. Enemies of the cross. They make the grace of God as an excuse for sin instead of the reason to repent. Now, those, when I read the Bible, when the Bible talks about enemies of the cross, I say, wow, who are these enemies of the cross? Are they Christians? Or are they unbelievers? The Bible is written only to Christians. Okay? And these enemies of the cross are Christians who live sinful lives. How many of you know when you start ministering to somebody else and they will always tell you, you see this person here? If he's a Christian, I don't be a Christian. How can a Christian do all these things? So they become enemies of the cross because they hinder people from coming to Christ. They live sinful life. They serve themselves. They feed their own sinful desires instead of crucifying their own desires. They set their minds on earthly things. They live within this earthly mind, this earthly time frame. My wife passed away about 2 years ago. When she passed away, I know I can't call her back to, because we had a closure. She was on a trachea. She couldn't speak for 9 months. She needed total nursing care. We didn't have a closure. So I know I can't call her back and say, you know, I'll talk to you before you anything happens. If I do that, I know I'll get scolding. You know, like how, you know, Saul got scolding from Samuel. So I say, God, I know I can't call her back, but can I go and see you in heaven? And God in His grace, you know, brought me to heaven. Heaven is a big place. In heaven, you all have to queue up, okay, to see Jesus. So if you're queuing up to buy some food or queuing up in a car waiting, remember, you're being trained for heaven. Don't don't scold the person here. Quickly, you know, you're being trained for heaven, okay? So I saw a huge queue. All wanted to see the Lamb of God, queuing up, you know. I just saw a section, that's all. That's in white. When Paul says, I see through a glass darkly, I know what it means. You can't really see clearly through a glass darkly. I saw her, and she was in white and a sash. There's no, you know, music, no accordion or harp. Don't play such things in heaven above. And she just said, go on. I said, okay, great. And other things going on. But I just want to tell you that we have to learn to be patient. Since I came here, since Wednesday, I learned that from the Australians. No problem. Relax. Yeah, take it easy. You know, what's the hurry? What's the rush? No, but we are Singaporeans. We are impatient. You know, so impatient. So I had to learn to queue up. Learn to be patient. We don't. Since that happened, I don't live by earthly time frame anymore. Okay, I know that we all have an expiry date. You know that expiry date. It's written on the back of our neck. You can't see it. We can't see it, you know, the back of our neck. We have an expiry date. We don't know when it comes. But when it comes, we're going to be ready. All the time. Okay? So, always tell people, husband and wife, appreciate the time you have with each other. Because you don't know when the time comes. I counsel a lot of people, you know, and some of the people I counsel, they fight like cats and dogs, husband and wife. Cats and dogs fighting, you know. Oh, man, I'm like... And then when the husband passed away, the wife cried, buckets of tears. I told her, what's the point? When he's alive, you fight cats and dogs. Then when he passed away, too late. No point. So, husband and wife, I encourage you here. Appreciate one another. Spend time with each other. Do the loving thing you want to do with each other. You know, make a bucket list. A spiritual bucket list. What you want to do before you go to heaven. You know, what you want to achieve in this life together as a husband and wife. For two of you behind there, when you worship the Lord, your husband and wife, right? Husband, okay. When you worship the Lord, I just saw God put flowers, you know, like a circular bunch of flowers over both of your hands, you know, it's worship up together. Just tell you, wow, you know, God, just appreciate your worship the Lord together as a husband and wife, the family, you know, wow. So it's like a garland, you know, upon you, garland of flowers upon you, as you worship the Lord together, raising your hands up to God. So, since my wife passed away, I do not live with an earthly time frame anymore. What is not important in heaven is no longer important to me anymore. Not important to me anymore. I don't know about your pastor, Philip, but what's the most important thing for a pastor? What's the most important thing he can own as a pastor? What's the most important thing he can own? Because Jesus is outside. I mean, earthly things. What's the most important thing? Of course, children or whatever, but think, I'm talking about thinking, I'm not talking about person, okay? Think. What's the most important thing? For me, it was my books. I collected books since, you know, I became a Christian. And some books are out of print, you can't get anywhere. I've got the newspaper cuttings of newspaper edition of the Azusa Street Revival and so on. I give it all the way to the church. I said, it's not important to me anymore already. To my daughter of faith, if anything happened to me, just keep my clothes away, and that's it. Even though that's our destiny, okay, we must live as though that. So that's our destination, not destiny. Heaven is our destination, right? But our destiny is to bring heaven upon earth, right? And I must live as though that heaven is with me already. There's a heavenly awareness of the importance of heaven. So what's not important in heaven? not important anymore. What people think of you, what people say of you, nah, not important anymore. Doesn't make important anymore. So those who are enemies of the cross live with an earthly time frame only. They set their hearts only on this earthly home. And the Bible says, interesting, their God is their stomach. All the Singaporeans here, God speaking to you. Okay. Your God must not be your stomach, okay? Anyway, we don't want to be enemies of the cross. We don't want to be. We want to be a friend of the cross. We want to be a lover of the cross, not an enemy of the cross. And God expects us to be patterns of life change. We are born again. Something changes inside us. Something must change inside us. Something must change. Inside us must change. The Spirit of God must come to our hearts. The Spirit of God must reign in our hearts. Something must change for me to be born again. Because Jesus says, unless I change and become like little children, putting my pride aside, putting my independence aside, unless I change to become a little children, I can never enter the kingdom of God. So if I want to progress in God's kingdom, if I want to experience more of God, if I want to see more of the glory of God, and experience more of His power, then I must make changes in my life. So as I enter with change, I take one step into God's kingdom, further with change, every step I make further into God's kingdom, the prerequisite for me to make those steps is that I have to make those changes in my life. The Bible here says, we are citizens of God's kingdom. Citizens. Man. But our citizenship is in heaven. We're not a PR of heaven. We're not a tourist of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Citizens. I know some of you here, to come here to Australia, to stay here, you've got to go through a big rigmarole to get here, right? All the immigration, all that, right? And now here, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, make you citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, you have some privileges, some rights, right? What is the privileges of being a citizen of heaven? So in Australia, what can you do? You can vote, right? You can have some free schooling, right? You can have free medical care, right? Is that right? Is that right? So praise the Lord, right? And now, as citizens of heaven, what are your privileges? What are your rights? You can approach the throne of grace, right? Not a throne of condemnation, not a throne of judgment, throne of grace, which means that when you pray, God hears your prayer. God will answer your prayer because you are a citizen of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's one of it. One of the privileges. When you cry out to God for help, He will help you. He'll empower you. And as a citizen of heaven, no one can take you out from the Father's hand. No one. No one can set you off from the Father's hand. As citizen of heaven, the devil has no longer any power over you. Any rights over your life whatsoever. As citizens of heaven, your sins are forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. As citizens of heaven, there's longer no more condemnation. You are a citizen of heaven. This church here is a multicultural church. Citizens of heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven above. Not Singaporeans, not Australians, not Poms, not British, not New Zealanders. Prisoners of Mother England. No. Our citizenship is in heaven. You have rights and privileges. One of it is that when you pray, God hears every word you pray. Every word you pray, God hears it. Every cry of your heart towards God, the name of Jesus on your lips, gives you authority, gives you power. The devil has no longer any rights over your life, any control, any authority, any influence in your life whatsoever, because you are a citizen of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, you can tap upon heavenly power, the power of heaven. Because you are a citizen of heaven, you can tap upon heavenly power. You no longer operate upon human power. You no longer operate upon your limited power. Now, you have unlimited power because you are a citizen of heaven. That is your right. It's a privilege. You have that power. Jesus, but verse 21 says this, we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will also transform our lowly bodies so that they will become like His glorious body, will transform us, will change us. Which means that what? I need to change my power source if I want to be victorious over the areas of my weakness. I have to change my power source. I change from DC to AC. I change from earthly power to heavenly power. I can do that because why? I am a citizen of heaven. You know, our willpower will go only so far. Our willpower. It brings us so far only. We need more than our willpower to change in the areas of weaknesses. And God knows this. God knows that you want to change. And you try using your willpower and it doesn't work. You still are defeated because our willpower can only go so far. That's why God provides us with power from heaven. The Bible still says, God, Christ Jesus, who by the power that enabled Him to bring everything under His control, will also transform your lowly bodies, your sinful bodies, to become like His glorious body. If you want permanent life change in the area of weakness, in our weaknesses, we have to tap into heaven's power. God knows you try. You try to change areas of weakness. You try. You try our best. You try to use your willpower, but you're still defeated. Our willpower can only go so far. And if you want to change those areas of your life, you would have changed already. If you have the ability, the strength, the power to change those areas of life, the weaknesses, you would have changed already. People are going on diet. Oh, I tried my bicycle. I can't go so far. Willpower. When I change to coffee to tea, I said, I can't go my willpower. I cannot. When I smell the whiff of coffee, oh man, coffee. I cannot. I say, no, Lord. I said, I need help in this area. I need help. If you would have changed, if you could have changed those areas of weaknesses, you would have changed already. You would have changed already. If you had changed your diet, to help you to become healthier, you have changed already by your own willpower. You would have already. See, some of us are strong in some areas and weak in others. We all have weaknesses. And God wants you to have victory over your weaknesses this morning. And I'm telling you that you are a citizen of heaven. You can tap upon God's power, the power that Christ used to bring everything under His control. That power you can tap upon to change in the area of weaknesses. You know, God changes, the Lord changes the priesthood so that we can become citizens of heaven. He changed the Levitical priesthood to the Melchizedek priesthood. We should all belong to it so that we can be citizens of heaven. And when there's a change of the priesthood, there is a change of the law. God changed the old covenant, the old law, to the new covenant. The law of sin and death can set us free. No law of the land can change a person's heart. Prison houses can't change a person's heart. The law cannot change a person. The law of sin and death. No law can. Only the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus can change us. God changes the law, the old covenant, the old promise, to a new covenant, a new promise, so that we could tap upon the power of heaven, so that you and I can become citizens of heaven and have the right and the privilege to tap upon the power to change in the ear of my weaknesses. So now, we no longer operate under the law of sin and death. We no longer function under the law of sin and death. Now, we function under the law of the Spirit of life. So therefore, there's no more condemnation whatsoever. No more. Isn't it wonderful that God changes for me, for you? He changed the whole world. How the world operate upon, so that you could make changes in your life, so that you and I could be citizens of heaven and tap upon His power. I want to turn me to Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Okay. Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8 verse 11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you." That means what? The life of God, the power of God, will give me strength, power. The Spirit of God give me power to overcome my weaknesses, to change my weakness to be a strength. And every weakness of ours is a strength that's brought to an extreme. I say again, okay? Every weakness of yours is actually a strength of yours, but has brought to the extreme. For example, a person who's very angry, easily angry, easily angered, actually he can feel a lot. He has compassion a lot, actually. Empathy, a lot of empathy. So he feels a lot. And so when he's brought to the extremes, he becomes very emotionally angry. Very easily angry. So a sense of justice. Any of your weakness. Someone who is a pantry person who can't save. What is his strength, actually? Generosity. But it's been change to being generous with himself, not with other people. Every strength of yours, think about it for a while. Every strength of yours, every weakness of yours is actually a strength brought to the extreme. Your weaknesses. You know, the Holy Spirit this morning wants to give you so much power, so that when you step out of this auditorium, you can live in victory in the area of your weaknesses. Because you have used your willpower to change yourself in some area of your weaknesses, yes. But in other areas of your weaknesses, you need God's power. What was Paul's problem? What was one area even Paul himself couldn't change? And he struggles with it all his life until he became a Christian. Until he understands about the Holy Spirit and the power of God. What was the one area of his life? One commandment he couldn't fulfill. One. And by the way, how many commandments are there in the Bible? How many? Huh? How many? Hello? Talk to me. How many commandments are there in the Bible? How many commandments are there? Huh? 11, right? What did Jesus say? A new commandment I give unto you, right? That you love one another even as I have loved you. And by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. But in Paul's time, there's only 10, right? So which are the 10 that he struggled with? Covetousness. Even the great Paul struggled with it. So he said, "Oh, wretched man I am, who can deliver you from this body of covetousness? Until you realize in Romans 8, oh, there is the law of sin and death. I now operate under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I'm no more condemned. And the Spirit of God lives in me, and therefore I have power to overcome covetousness. That was his struggle in Romans 7. Okay. So the Spirit of God, every Christian have the Holy Spirit. This morning, from today onwards, I want you to think of that area of weakness you have defeated in. Any area. Throughout every area of life. And say, Lord, I want victory in this area of my life. This area. Okay? I'm a citizen of heaven. I can tap upon the same power that God, that Christ uses to bring everything under His control. The same power that Christ has to bring everything under His control. I can tap upon that power to change me in the area of my weaknesses. Whatever it is. Whatever weakness you have. Okay? And the next time I see you, man, you're so different. Okay? Those who go on diet and couldn't keep the diet for maybe more than 2 weeks. Wow. Those who want to, you know, make changes in their life and overcome some addictive habits. Wow, freedom. Because why? It's no longer your willpower anymore. It is the power of God in you to make those changes. And as I bring this to a close, okay, I'm going to pray first and bring this to a close, and then I'll pray for some people here, okay? Okay, let's just pray first, shall we? This morning, you just tell God one area of my weaknesses, one area you want to change, one area where you want to have victory over. One addictive habit that defeats you. One area where the enemy uses to defeat you in your life. That area. You tell Jesus, I thank you right now. I am a citizen of heaven. I am. Your word says I am, and I believe your word that I am a citizen of heaven. And this is my weakness. And this is the area where I'm defeated in. And this morning, Lord, I thank you. Excuse me. I no longer have to depend upon my willpower anymore. This morning, I can depend upon the power of God. The same power that Jesus uses to bring everything under His control. The same power, Lord. I want to tap upon it right now. As your citizen of heaven. As a citizen of heaven, I tap upon that power. I change that power in my life. I change that weakness in my life to be a strength in my life right now. I be transformed in the area of my life, Father. That thought life, that the habit, that the weakness in my life, Lord. Today, I proclaim victory because I tap upon your power right now. This morning, Lord Jesus. From today onwards, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to, by faith right now, by faith, by your faith in God's word that says, you are a citizen of heaven. By faith in the word of God that says, God, Christ will transform your lowly body into His glorious body. By faith in the word of God that says, the Spirit of God lives in you. That faith that you have in God, in the word of God, what Jesus says, what the Lord says, that faith, you say, God, I'm going to believe you for the victory, for the power that you've given me to get victory in this area of my life, Lord. Thank you, Father. So that people here in this church that belongs to Zion will become indeed the people of Zion from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every ethnic group right now who can praise and glorify your name, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.